Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Columbus, Indiana, and earned a B.S. in Business, International Business Economics from Purdue University. From 1988 to 1990, he sold books for Southwestern Publishing Company. And since 1991, he's been a professional clothier haberdasher for Tom James Company. One of the greatest salespeople I've ever met in my life. His name, John Burke. And I'm Jack Crystal, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Crystal. This is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to John Burton, who's been a friend for 35 years and one of the greatest salespeople I've ever met in my life. John, welcome, an honor to have you.
Thank you, Jack.
Can we start by talking about your childhood, Columbus, Indiana, your mom and your dad?
Absolutely, yeah. Born Steve and Nan Burton. My dad was an engineer with Cummins Engine Company, and my mom was in the women's clothing business with my grandfather. So that's kind of where I got the taste of fashion and excitement and fabrics and being around the whole fashion industry.
What's the biggest thing you learned from mom, other than clothing, and what's the biggest thing you learned from dad?
My mother was definitely the fashion a part of the business, but also it was the service, because my grandfather was all about service. He was one man surrounded by 35 women in a women's clothing store. One, he didn't ever complain. He always served the customer, taught me that. Taught me about your word is everything, that if you say something, you go beyond to over... exceed that expectation. And so my mom was from that same kind of, pun the word, you know, the cloth. And my dad, he was an engineer. He was simple in the sense of hardworking, did his job, worked with, you know, didn't he, not much of a talker. My mom was quite the talker. That's where I got that from, as well, was her gift to gab. And so, again, I was very lucky to be raised in that.
You're childhood. A quintessential salesperson. What kind of jobs did you have as a kid?
Well, I waxed cars. I went and picked up cars at customers' houses, and because I always loved automobiles. My Uncle John got me that, kind of got the taste of that. He was into Porsches and that kind of car and European automobile. And so I would pick up cars and fix, you know, and drive them back. And so I had that. I did odds and ends around the neighborhoods. I'd pick up trash on the road and, you know, just weird things. And then obviously that was in high school, going to Culver Military Academy was an opportunity that the Henderson family at Cummins Engine gave me. Toots Henderson and Jim Henderson allowed me to go to Culver, and that's kind of where all that started.
Culver Military Academy, Culver, Indiana. Mm-hmm. I've heard about it an awful lot. Special. I think that's where Notre Dame goes to kind of spring ball. Mm-hmm. Tell us about this Culver Military Academy.
Well, I was very lucky. We didn't come from a lot of money. We knew a lot of people, I was able to get there on a scholarship. It's a tremendous Ivy League school, Northern Indiana. In the middle of, on Lake Maxinkuckee, one of the beautiful lakes, Wawasee, most people know that. It's kind of a twin lake to Lake Wawasee in northern Indiana. And it's a military college preparatory school. The history of it is exceptional in the sense of the people that have gone there, the teaching elements there. But again, college preparatory school, rode horses 8 hours a day. I was big into horses at that time, and horsemanship, and playing polo and doing fencing. And it really gave me a taste of what was out there. It got me out of Columbus and allowed me to see the world at a very small, minute level in high school.
And then it got you to Purdue University.
Mm-hmm.
And you graduated, got a degree there. And then from 88 to 90, you had a stint selling books from Southwestern Publishing Company.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about that chapter.
It was direct selling books door to door is probably the hardest, well, that I know of, type of selling there is. One, the amount of rejection, 60, 70, 80 times a day hearing no, and it really gave me that tough skin, so to speak, kind of adapted me to the commission lifestyle, but also the action, the meeting different people. So I had a chance to go all across the country to Pennsylvania, New York, and Texas, and I got to meet the kind of wife I wanted to marry, the type of wife I did not want to marry, the type of husband I wanted to be. So really, in just families, and it was books that were children-based books, so you got to chance, you were dealing with young children. It was just really exciting opportunity.
Okay, we're talking to John Burton. John, tell us how John Burton sold in 1988.
Well, I was probably very, aggressive. I would think that, there's an as you evolve and you hone your craft. In the beginning, it was basic, just tenacity, perseverance, and probably pushy, too pushy, I would think. That was kind of how I sold in the beginning. And then as you learn and you evolve, you adapt your type of selling style to more listening and serving the customers. And seeing that is a lot longer relationship building process as far as sales versus the beginning. It's turn and burn type of thing, which is not that gratifying. It's hard to look yourself in the mirror. And
you mentioned rejection, that sometimes there'd be 60 calls in a row. All you heard was no.
Mm-hmm.
I did a little selling in my time. I'm still trying to sell. We're all trying to sell, every one of us.
Everybody's a salesperson, yes.
So you've had 50 in a row no's, but when you go in front of that 51st, prospect, you got to come across as you've just been Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady.
Mm. Mm.
How do you do that, John?
Well, I think that it's the whole process of selling is I'm not sure a brainwashing of yourself, but a philosophy, and that one more no, you're that much closer to a yes, and believing that, and that's a game of numbers. There were many times when I wanted to give up, and the next person I talked to ended up buying, and that happened many, many, many times. So you develop that thick skin that way.
Everybody that's listening tonight is in for a treat. This is a free Harvard MBA class on selling and salesmanship. This is a world-class salesperson, John Burton. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Krasula. We're with John Burton. And for the last 32 years, he's been a professional clothier haberdasher for Tom James Company. John, you've hired a lot of salespeople. You've sold to a lot of salespeople. What do all great salespeople have in common?
They are wonderful listeners. They listen to what the customer wants and then serves their expectation and what they desire. That's probably it in a nutshell that I've learned over the years, is listening skills.
You are a phenomenal listener, and you not only listen with your ears, but more importantly, you listen with your eyes. Really?
Yeah, especially in visual, being in the clothing business, but it's also, it's important to watch signals, but not in the sense of manipulating, but just in the sense of, am I going down the right path? Am I feeling the needs of this person, this customer. And that's part of the listening side. And most salespeople, especially when I started in the beginning, worried so much about what I was going to say, worrying so much about my own perspective, that I didn't listen to what the client wanted. And one of the worst thing to do is what I've seen very simple salespeople is that they don't listen. And it's pretty obvious at the bat, right off the bat, is that it's listening skills takes a very high level of self-image to perform. Not always have I had that. You know, you develop that, I think, over time.
Cheryl, I'm sure you're going to listen to this. You're married to a phenomenal listener, by his own admission. Okay.
Not sure if she would agree.
All right, we won't go there. There's a young person or an old person that says, I want to learn how to sell. John Burton, what should I do?
Well, I would highly recommend they go and pick the hardest type of selling there is, which is direct selling. If it's Cutco knives, if it's selling books door to door, if it's knocking on door canvassing in politics, I think that gives you the road of hard knocks, which is necessary because dealing with rejection is difficult. It's what you do in between the sales, dealing with your mental, your mental capacity. Do you time on your own, dealing with your own mental issues, is where most of salespeople derail. They don't continue to become great because it takes a long time, and I'm still aspiring to become a great salesperson.
All right. Then there's some listeners tonight that say, John, Jack, I admire what you do, Mr. Burton, but I'm not a salesperson. Let me correct you. Every one of us is a salesperson. We're all selling every day to our spouse, kids, team at work, et cetera, et cetera. And the greatest salesperson who ever walked the face of the earth, John, was Jewish, a carpenter, and he only sold for 3 years. He had no sales manual. He had no threads. 2,000 years later, a couple billion people keep claimed to be buying what he was selling. Talk about that. Every one of us is a salesperson.
Well, I think, no, you're selling yourself. I don't like using absolutes, but you're selling yourself in regards to the message, what you're about, your skill set. And I tell my, I have three girls, and I'm telling them, as you said, everyone is a salesperson. Is it if it's getting into college, if it's getting an interview with a job, is selling your product. But even selling yourself to your potential spouse. I mean, there is a form of salesmanship. And again, selling you as a human being properly, that's what it's all about. And I think, as you brought up, I think the greatest salesperson was Jesus. And he was a phenomenal listener. I mean, he was the perfect example of what we're talking about.
Amen. All right. 1991, you quit selling books and you go to work for this company called Tom James Company. How and why?
Well, the founder of the Southwestern Publishing Company, Spencer Hayes, had probably 51 different businesses around that all kind of supported themselves. He started Tom James Clothing Company because he, one, loved clothing, and two, he kept losing these great salespeople to other companies out there. So he started developing companies that he could keep them within the family, so to speak. And so that's the reason I went to work for Tom James Oxford Clothing.
1966 is when Spencer Hayes started it. Iconic, almost like a father to you. What's the biggest thing you learn from Spencer Hayes?
Well, what you put into the lives of other people comes back into your own was a saying that he used to say. And he also had a business card that said salesman on it. That was, and even though he was a multi-billionaire, self-made, he had a card that said salesman. And he was a wonderful listener, but also really saw people for what they could become and saw them that way, which is very difficult, especially when you're a young punk college kid thinking that you know everything and that there is to know out there, and seeing that person for what they could become in the future is pretty credible, and I think an incredible character trait of his.
Over the last 35 years, many, many times you've called me and left a message. Jack, this is your humble haberdasher, John Burton. Growing up on the south side of Chicago, we didn't have no haberdashers, okay? What's the origin of that word, and what is a haberdasher?
Well, haberdasher is an English term, as I understand it, English term, and a haberdasher is someone who deals with all facets of clothing other than hats. And so it's someone who is a butler in regards to, or a concierge to someone's closet, to organizing and putting colors together, to understanding colors of someone, and accessorizing things properly. And then also talking to them about how proper dress and when's appropriate. Because today, especially more than any time, I think, and it always seems like people need assistance with the, how they look and how they're putting things together.
We're talking to John Burton. When we come back, we're going to ask him to talk about the Tom James Company. And John, the closest thing or word I ever heard to haberdasher on the south side of Chicago was hamburger helper. That was a big treat for us. And I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Crisula. We're with John Burton. If you want to learn more, www.tomjames.com. Since 1966, the Tom James Company has been a leader in custom suits, shirts, dresses, other custom garments for the modern professional. So with that light up, tell us about Tom James Company.
Well, our motto is that we come to you, and that's something that started with Spencer Hayes, that he always wanted to, he wanted to dress well. Unfortunately, based who he was, it was not always safe for him to go out and shop. Or he didn't have time to go and shop. So he developed this concept of going to the customer. And it was, we were the really the first at this level company to actually go to a customer and bring them clothing, be it ready-made, what's off the peg, or custom. And so that's, he started that, and he loved clothing, saw a need, and he developed it.
All right, I quote you now. It's often said, we have just 6 seconds to make a first impression.
Well, I mean, we've heard that the saying before, but it's, you know, dressing still sends a message. One, you take pride in are your shoes shined? Do you take pride in how your garments look? It doesn't matter what level. It doesn't have to be just a suit or a tuxedo. It can be your casual wear, your jeans, your tennis shoes, your whole overall look. It sends a message of who you're all, what you're all about, and do you take pride in yourself? And it's also a sign of respect to someone else that you dress, you overdress, because you can always bring it down to make it more casual. But it is a sign of respect to someone else, your appearance. Do you take pride in that?
We're talking to John Burton, Tom James. Their motto is, "We come to you with fine clothing." www.tomjames.com. All right, another quote. I focus on the customer first.
Well, when you do that, it makes it a lot more enjoyable because you're not operating from your own mindset and yourself. So you're focused on what that customer's needing and wanting, and not always is it the same. Some people, they require that the fit is very important. Other times it's service is super important. Other time it might just be do what you say and deliver on that. So you have to listen and listen to what that customer is desiring.
Speaking of which, paint for us a picture of your typical customer, even though there is no typical customer, please.
Someone who's very busy, who doesn't always have the time to go in shopping, as I mentioned before, but it's also something that maybe doesn't like to shop at all, that it's a necessary evil. Or the person who loves, wants to look better, but they don't know how. So there is kind of a, across the board, different types. But I would say it's someone who understands value in regards to something, a product, be it time saving, be it quality, be it price, kind of all rolled together.
All right. How and why do you qualify your customers?
Well, not everybody. I mean, time is money today in both perspectives. And not everybody understands what this is all about. Some people, they want to do this, but maybe they don't have the means yet. Or they have the means yet, but they don't understand what it's all about, or they don't respect what it's all about. So you just have to kind of ask where people are in that moment. You don't ever want to turn anyone off, because as a saying I used to say, that I used to tell to myself a lot, is the mighty oak will grow from the small acorn. You just don't ever know what someone might develop. I have customers that I met them when they were in their 20s and now running Fortune 500 companies. And I just try to treat them with respect as I wanted to be treated. So you never know what kind of customer, or maybe they'll come back around later, if that makes sense.
All right. The write-up, part of the write-up for Tom James Company, talks about fashion tips. Always make a statement, good or bad. Be remembered. Always overdress for any occasion. Never settle for second best. Always buy the best. Make your style your own, and always keep an open mind to exceed your best.
I mean, that
you live that every day, John Burton.
Yeah, that's, I totally agree with that. And again, it's respect to yourself, as I mentioned. And are you showing respect to other people that you're coming in contact with? I think the pride in what you just read, how can you not, even if you're in a bad space in the morning, because sometimes people are morning people, some people are not, it gets you off the right foot. Again, it's a mindset. It's, I don't want to say brainwashing, as I mentioned before, but it's a mindset, affirming yourself, et cetera, and that's what that is, affirmations.
All right. Once again, part of that was always buy the best. My mom and dad, Slovakia, we didn't have much money. You know, you met my dad, lucky buddy, a mailman. Mm-hmm. They used to speak in Slovak when they didn't want us, or when they wanted to stress something. And one thing that they drilled into us was Lasinia Dvakrat Placene. Literally, that means inexpensive, twice paid. And they would say, mm-hmm. My mom, Jackie, we're too poor to buy cheap. Mr. Burton, we didn't buy often, but when we bought clothing or a piece of furniture, we bought quality. They used to say, otherwise you're just leaking the money down the drain. Talk about Lasinia Dvakrat Placene.
We have different levels in our company, different levels of cloth, but we've prided ourselves, and what Spencer Hayes prided themselves is always give above and beyond quality for whatever the price with us. And so we put an immense amount of money back. We're a 98% vertically integrated company, so we own the fabric mills, we make the garments, so the whole process we control. So we put a lot of money back into the quality. So no matter what level you purchase, we wanted people to come back to us because of quality. So that's why we put a lot of money into our product, exactly what you're saying. Pay for quality. And that's what we do. So again, I agree with, I've purchased inexpensive things, thinking I was getting a great deal. Well, when it falls apart, I don't remember, you know, the price. I just remember I'm not happy. And so, yeah, as you said, you pay twice.
All right. You mentioned the process in this previous mm-hmm. answer. You get, somebody says, come and see me. Mm-hmm. Walk us through the process.
So after qualifying just to kind of what they're looking for, are they looking more for casual clothing and looking more for dress clothing? So we'd go to the appointment, sit down, introduce them to the company. First off, ask them questions of what they're looking for. do they want to take their closet from is their closet ranked from a 1 to 10? Do they want to, if it's a 5 to 6, what could make it go up to an 8 or a 9? Can we go up a couple steps? What would that look like? Asking them what they are expecting. I do try to get the spouse involved because I think more input is better in the sense of what that person might be looking for. And sometimes the main person I'm dealing with is way off base, and the spouse is just tired of how shabby her spouse is looking, and so I always value a lot of input, and it makes it more enjoyable.
Mr. Burton, we got to be totally honest, okay? This is a Christ-centered show. Sometimes the spouse has input. I mean, the reality is, if the wife's there or the lady's there, she makes the decision.
You better be listening. Yes, you
happy
better be.
Wife, happy life. Yes. Okay. So when you've got the spouse, the lady, wanting one thing, and the guy, very great athlete or very consummate business person, they're fighting amongst each other. Mm-hmm. How do you be the person in the middle?
Well, Mike, many things. I think back when I sold books, about compromise, you just try to find a very happy, simple medium. It might be just, you know, let's try a navy solid suit. Let's do a blue blazer and a slack combination. Let's get the process started. So that way we just keep everything calm. And so you try to keep things enjoyable and fun. This is not rocket science. This should be an enjoyable process.
We're talking to John Burton. For the last 35 years, he's had two main areas of focus, Southeast Michigan and Chicago. How many miles per year do you put on that vehicle?
Well, I say I drive back and forth. It's just simpler to back and forth to Chicago and here. And 60,000, I mean, easy. I enjoy driving, so that does help.
So we're talking to John Burton, www.tomjames.com. And I'm Jack Prasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR.
Jack Prasula, host of WJR's Anything Is Possible, the weekly radio visit, brings his 15 years of inspirational storytelling to hardcover. With God, anything is possible.
Anything.
15 of Jack's more than 750 tales of defeating odds and achieving the extraordinary. Like Bob Woodruff, whose job covering the war in Iraq nearly cost him his life. And Nick Vujicic, the limbless evangelist who has stunned millions with his message of acceptance and grace. With God, anything is possible. Order now while signed copies are still available at trustinusllc.square.site. That's trustinusllc.square.site. And as Jack says,
make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohol.
Anything is possible.
I'm Jack Prasula. This is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to John Burton, one of the greatest salespeople I've ever met, and also one of the hardest working people I've ever met. So, John, you go to meet the person, either at their office, their home, whatever. You know, you drive to Chicago, you go to Grosse Pointe, whatever. 1 week, you had 76 meetings. Friends. He's there for half an hour, talking to the wife, et cetera, showing fabric. But then he's got to drive to the next one. You might have worked 100 hours that week. You're still working 60, 70, 80-hour weeks, John. Right, Cheryl? Why?
Well, I think it's not the destination, it's the journey. And that's what's most enjoyable. I want my girls are still young. I want them to see the example of what hard work can get you, not to settle. My wife doesn't really want me home. We learned that during everything. She'd rather me working. So when are you leaving again? You know, but anyway, but I mean that in a nice way. But as far as it's something, it's enjoyable. Like I said, the journey is the fun. And so aspiring how I can get better and still searching to be the best I can be. So it gets me up every day.
Well, Cheryl married you for better or for worse, for richer, for poorer, but not for lunch.
Right.
Okay. Right. All right. Jack, buy a suit, buy slacks, a sport coat that stands out, classy. So I own two suits with a special stripe. They both say anything is possible.
Well, I think that's a philosophy of life, and it's an affirmation that you're wearing when you wear the suit, and people come up to you and they repeat exactly what the message you want to send. So you're affirming yourself just with that striped piece, like I said, I think you should dress as best you can based upon your means. Take pride in the way you look. It doesn't mean just in a three-piece suit or a formal tuxedo, but even casual clothing. Take pride in it.
It's very subtle, the stripe. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Another thing that you've done for me is every shirt I own has my signature on the left cufflink.
Well, it's funny. I do it. It's details. It's back to the details. Shine shoes, details, if it's a French cuff, signature monogram. But the details matter. It sends a message of what kind of individual you are. And never know when you forget your, like it's happened to me, at an airport, and they let me on the plane with my signature. Now, they had to do some additional screening, but they loved the signature. So you can have fun with things, but details matter.
All right. Your clients mainly are Southeast Michigan and Chicago. You've been the haberdasher for 35 years for many of the biggest business leaders, sports stars in those two areas. Thousands of them. What have they taught you, John Burton?
Well, you meet your heroes in many regards that they are the people that are the most successful are the ones that are most down to earth. So when you meet your hero and they're down to earth, it's pretty nice that people are people. It doesn't matter where they come from. They all put their pants on the same way. And I think they taught me working hard, just like my grandfather did. Work hard, aspire to be the best, and enjoy the process, because if you are the best at what you do and you love what you do, then life moves on and you'll make a tremendous amount of money. It's the goal is not necessarily the money that people have taught me. The goal is to have the most fun and do the best you can do with what you love.
Every salesperson sells three things in a certain order. First is themselves, then the company, organization, and finally the service or product. How do I sell myself?
Well, I think you take that's a good question. So sell myself. It's that one you say you're going to do what you say is a very important element. Now, some people you just met for the first time and they don't know if you're going to deliver on what you say. Most salespeople, they talk too much. But the mere fact if they listen more, that's just one element, how they can sell themselves or how you can sell yourself. Listening and asking the proper questions to the client, to the customer, man or woman. What do you want? What can I do? What can I eliminate? The hassle, the inconvenience.
They talk too much. A lot of salespeople, they've got 8 points that they want to get across to pitch to you. I used to always say, if the person's ready to buy after the second one, shut up, open the pen, let them buy.
Right.
Because you've had salespeople, Mark, where you wanted to buy, they won't let you buy. And you get ticked off and you, I'm going to buy from this guy.
We got one mouth and two eyes and two ears. So
how do I know, John, when the guy's or the person's ready to buy?
If they're asking questions and they're like, okay, they say, okay. I mean, it's sometimes as simple as that. But it's also, if they're as excited as you are, if you're transferring your feelings of enthusiasm towards something, if it's that you really are excited about showing somebody that you, this is a fabulous fabric or a great look, or look what we can do with this outfit, be it in your car that you have, et cetera, and they are with you, again, listening, you'll see it.
All right, the only constant is change in life. In 2015, Tom Janes decides we have to invest more in women's custom clothing.
Well, the women's line, it's amazing that we have studied. And, well, one thing is our sales force, our sales group, is 65% women now. So we obviously had to have clothing that they could wear. And they are going to, from all ages, from 23 years old salesperson all the way up to 60, 65, 80-year-old salespeople that wanted fashion. And so we had to provide that for them. But the other is, there's not a lot of quality women's clothing out there, and we've determined. And women executives are desiring this more than men sometimes. I mean, time is money, back to the whole concept of convenience, and that things don't fit. Women change sizes, et cetera. And getting a style that's one classic, timeless, that accessorizes well, is right up a woman's desire. So it was a natural move, and it's been tremendous.
You've heard the word no hundreds of thousands of times. Easy. Clark Durant believes the sale doesn't begin until you hear the word no. That's Clark Durant. Mm-hmm. Talk about what you do when you hear no.
I have a philosophy that if you hear the word no, then I just didn't appeal properly. I'm not selling myself or my service yet.
John Burton, you are the best. And thanks for being a great friend, helper for 35 years.
Thank you for the relationship. It's been a lot of fun in serving you.
Please join next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spawn.
Believe in yourself.